Seder begins on Pesach night with Kiddush, but it's not the same Kiddush as it is on Shabbos and Yontif. Everything is different. Manish Tana Laila Sazkin Kol Alez. The Kiddush is the beginning of the Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch, first of all, they quote in the name of the Bali HaTaisus. Taisus came up with a Kiddush on the first Mishnah in Perek Arvi Psochin, that one cannot begin the Seder Ad Shetechshach until it's Tzeisach Kochavim. One could have read the Mishnah that it doesn't mean till Tzeisach Kochavim. Other Rishonim disagree. You're looking at Tzeisri HaRosh and Brochus, and the Gemara says you can be Mekamel Shabbos early if the Pagam Mincha. Gemara says you can say Kiddush and then start eating the meal. So a group of Rishonim say there that Tzeisri HaRosh and others say you can eat the Korban Pesach also. If you're Mekamel Pesach early, you can eat the Korban Pesach. You can finish the whole Haggadah before Shkia, during the Zman of the Tasef Shabbos. The Tesis, during Zman of the Tasef is the Pesach. So Tesis and Arvi Psochim says not so. And that's the opinion that was accepted in the Shulchan Aruch, that you can't begin any of the mitzvahs alayla ad shetechsha. They took the Mishnah literally. And then the Shulchan Aruch has premise number two, that the Kiddush and Pesach night is considered the beginning of the Sipi Tzitz Mitzrayim. So you cannot begin to say the Kiddush until Lechta Tzitzah Kochavim. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a minig which is based on the diuk in the Lashon HaMishnah in Maseches Pesachim. It says, Mozgalo kol sheni, Mozgalo kol shlishi. What does it say, Mozgalo? Limzog means to mix water into the wine. The Mishnah says that a koshal bracha has to be mozog. It shouldn't be yayin chai. It should taste good. If in the days of the Tanoim, the wine was so sharp, if you wouldn't mix in a little water, it wouldn't taste good. So you need mezigah sayayin. Okay, that we understand. Why does it say Mozgalo? Someone else is doing the mezigah. So Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes a minig, and many people have this minig, that instead of each person pouring his own cup of wine, you have one person designated, usually a younger child, designated he should be in charge of pouring everybody's wine, as if we're all multimillionaires and we have butlers pouring the wine for us. We don't, such anashim mechubadim, we don't pour our own wine. It's also a siman of cheres. So before you start, so one younger person should pour the wine for everybody. The Koshal Kiddush, everyone's cup has to be Masik Revias. A lot of people have a teeny weeny cup that doesn't have a Revias of Yain in here. Revias is a, we are Mekel, we follow Shita Sateis. Revias Halug. There were 6 Beits in a Lug, so Revias Halug is 1.5 Beits. According to Rashi, it's Revias Ahin. So it's a much, much bigger cup of wine. But we don't follow Rashi, we follow Tesis. So it should be the volume of 1.5 of wine. The eggs that we use are large size eggs. Imagine a smaller size egg, that would be a Beitza Beinonis. We never see the Beitza Beinonis. They make mayonnaise and other things out of it, so they never, we see the large eggs or jumbo eggs. So visualize a slightly smaller egg than the ones that we see in the home. And the volume of an 1.5. How much wine, that's how much wine you have to have in a cup. How much wine do you have to drink? So a lot of people think that it's like when you get married, take a little sip of the wine under the chuppah. So that's Malay Lugmav. That's a din. Kiddush and Abdali, you drink Malay Lugmav. The Gemara says over here, not Malay Lugmav. Gemara says you have to drink Rov Kos. So Taisus writes, nah, it doesn't mean Rov Kos. It means Malay Lugmav. So Taisus seems to assume that there is no independent mitzvah of drinking Arba Kosis. There's only, this is famous, Rabbi Skarov has this, Maharal Mibrag lived a few centuries before the Briskarov, he has it also. It's famous in the Briskarov. So the Briskarov points out, Tesis' opinion apparently is that there is no Indian to drink Arba Kosis. It's an Indian to recite 4 brachas alakos. You say Kiddush alakos, you say Asher Yolanu alakos, Bichas Almazen alakos, and Bichas Hashir alakos. Each bracha alakos, the Gemara has a klal hamavorach tzor shiyitom, vikamo, how much of the wine do you have to drink that it should be considered a bracha alakos? The Gemara says, malay lugmav. So Taisi takes it, when the Gemara says over here you have to drink a rov kos, it's not to be taken literally, it really means a malay lugmav. But the Rambam had the Girsa Sarif, Rambam always follows the Girsa Sarif. That's what Avelvela Salvechik points out in the Sefer, the Rambam follows the Girsa Sarif, that there are 2 aspects to Arba Kosis. One is the 4 brachas ala kos that Taisus says. And if that would be the whole issue, then it would be sufficient for one person to drink Maloy Lugma. By Kiddush and Abdullah, we don't require each and every person to take wine, and you don't have to drink so much wine, just Maloy Lugma. But because there's an additional aspect, Chayavadam Laharis Asats Makila Yotza Lecherus, you have to demonstrate that we have been in Churin, So the two parts of the demonstrating that we have in Chorin is that we eat the Hasebah called Alayla, and we drink a toast, we drink Abukosis. So that's why you really have to drink the whole kos. So the Gemara said if you drink Rov kos, that's acceptable. We apply the Klal of Ruba Kukuloi. The Mogen Avraham quotes the Bach, who says that Ruba Kukuloi is only for the Eved. More correct, Lachatchila, you should drink Kol HaKos, you should drink the whole cup of wine. How did the Bach arrive at such a conclusion that Ruba Kukuloi is only for the Eved? So that is based on the Gemara in Chulin. Those are learned at the beginning of the second Berak in Chulin. The Gemara talks about shechting a behema or an off, so you have to shecht and a behema two simanim, the kon and the veshet, and an off you have to shecht one of the two simanim, either the kon or the veshet. So the Gemara says, the Loshon HaMishnah is Hashoichet Rav Echad Ba'if Rav Shnayim B'Behema Shchitos Hekshereth. It sounds like it's only for the Yevet, Hashoichet Shchitos Hekshereth. How much do you have to shecht L'chatchila, the Gemara says? How much do you want to shecht? So the Gemara says, Rav is only good for the Yevet. L'chatchila should really drink, you should really shecht Kol HaSin, Kol HaKon HaKon HaVesh. So that's what the Bach says over here. And whenever you're dealing with a mitzvah like drinking Abukosis, a mitzvah Midrabanan, so you're really supposed to drink Kol HaKos, and it's only by the Yevon that we say that the Rav HaKos is sufficient. The Gemara has a din that when you're dealing with a Kos Shal Bracha, you have to rinse out the Becher before you fill it up with the wine. We require Shtif V'Adoch. The Gemara has there four dinim. Chai Moli Shtif V'Adoch. So Shulchan Aruch, they say Chamisha dinim. Then they say Chai Moli Shtif V'Adoch is only four. So they say Chamisha Zerosh Yitebis. Chai Moli Shtif V'Adoch. You have such a statement in Hilchos Shavuos also. Chamisha chilukim between the Shavuos Heses and the Shavuot Daraisa, and there are only four, so the word Chamisha is a Rashi Tevis there. Cheftz and Kitas Chefetz and Meipach Shavuot, a whole bunch. And they tell you, they refer you to this gimmick over here in Hilchos Kiddush. The Chamisha dinem are Chai Mali Shtif Adoch. The Shtif Adoch means you should inside the Becher on the inside and in the outside. The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos quotes from the Tosfos that you only have to inside the Becher if you think it may be dirty. But if you had it in the cupboard, you had it kept away clean from last Matzai Shabbos, so there's no need to rinse out the Becher. Others disagree with the Tosfos. Kaf HaChaim quotes Mekubalim, who say the more correct is you should rinse out the cup in the inside and the outside, Shtif V'Adoch, and Mevtim V'Achutz, even if it was clean. Many Sfardim follow that source that the Kaf HaChaim quoted. Chassidim like to follow that even if the becher is clean, they rinse it out because it's a pikabola. So there is a, my father was from Chassidish Becher, my father always did like that. There were those tzaddikim who would be makbid on Pesach night to rinse out the cup all four times. A lot of people drink part of the wine and leave over a little bit of wine, then it comes to the second cup, they just fill it up a little more. So they didn't really do shtif v'adocha for the second, for the third, and for the fourth cup of wine. So they quote the Rav Kook and other tzaddikim had the practice of emptying out the whole cup, either drinking the whole cup or emptying out, pouring into another cup, and rinsing out the becher each time for the first cup, second cup, third cup, fourth cup, and then filling it up specifically. On Pesach night, just like on any other Shabbos and Yom Tov, we require Kiddush v'makom suda. You have to recite Kiddush in the same place we plan to eat the suda. On a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov, there are two parts to the din of Kiddush and Mok Masud. You have to recite Kiddush in the same location where you're going to eat the deal. And number two, you're not supposed to have a long pause. People usually say Kiddush and they start carrying on a whole conversation until you wash until Sinai. They're not supposed to carry on the conversation. Unless you have a yeshiva with 300 Talmidim, it's going to take a long time. So what should I wait? Stand online? What should I waste time standing online? So I can sit and learn a sefer and carry on a conversation till the other 298 people will finish washing, and then I'll go wash also. Someone has to wait anyway till the end. If you have to wait anyway, so there's no problem. But if there's nothing being ma'akev, so you're supposed to go right away. After the kids, you're supposed to go right away to wash until the sedaim to say, it's on Pesach night, the chachamim were misakin, you need kiddush m'mok m'suda the first half. You have to recite kiddush in the same place we're going to have the meal. But we don't insist that you have to wash until it's yadayim right away. We're not going to wash until it's yadayim until way later. And even the yekes, and even those, the Ramah was not a yeke, but he used to wash until it's yadayim always before Kiddush. Ramah was a real poilership. He lived in Krakow. And he writes that his minig is that they always wash until it's yadayim before Kiddush, but not on Pesach night. On Pesach night, it'll be a hefzik. If you wash on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's fine. If you wash till it's yadayim before Kiddush, So the Gemara says, not the Yadav is a machlekes, Yikadish, lo Yikadish. We pass a not the Yadav, you can say Kiddush, because since you need Kiddush, Mamakam Suda, so you're going to have the meal, so the reciting of the Kiddush is not a hefsek. But to recite the whole CPTS Mitzrayim, in between the Tilus Yadayim and Amoitzi, that will be a hefsek. On Pesach night, it says in Shulchan Aruch, even those who have the practice of washing the Tilus Yadayim all year long, before the Kiddush on Pesach night, nobody does like that. You don't wash the Tilus Yadayim until way later. So the Kiddush has to be B'makom Suda. Some people make a mistake. Let's say they want to have half the Seder by these parents and half the Seder by the other parents. They want to have half the Seder at home and half the Seder in the hospital, but someone's in the hospital. Someone just had a baby or the grandmother is sick in the hospital. So they're going to go at the end of the second cup after they finish the first half of the Seder. They drink Asher Gialonu, the second cup of wine, then they'll go to the hospital or they'll go to the other grandparents and finish the meal over there. So that's a lack of Kiddush B'makom Suda. You can't do that. You have to eat the meal in the same place where you recited the Kiddush. You can split up the Seder in two. The Gemara says, Bizman Habayis, they always split up the Seder. The Gemara explains in Psochem, around Av Pevov, that Gagan Bali is learned as Kachin. When it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, everybody has to eat on the ground level. Now, the Yer Atika is not so big. If you have a few million people coming to participate, the Gemara tells you how many people came. It was one year they wanted to take an approximate census of how many people were there. So they threw in a pebble in a container for every Korban Pesach, and the Gemara says every Korban Pesach had a minimum of 10 participants. And it came out that there were 7 million people who participated in the Korban Pesach. So there simply is not, physically, there's not enough room for all these millions of people to eat the Korban Pesach on the ground level if you don't allow them to eat upstairs and on top of the roof. So the Gemara says that, the Halacha says you have to eat on the ground level, so the Gemara says they had to eat in shifts. So the second shift was always rushing the first shift, finish eating and let us start. And the third shift was rushing the second shift, and the fourth shift was rushing the third shift. They should hurry up. So the Gemara says they always used to, the earlier shifts would say Kiddush and run through the Seder to left the Birchas HaMazon, that's the third cup, and then they would go to the rooftops to finish the Haggadah somewhere else, to finish the Hallel, and the fourth cup of wine somewhere else. That's what the Gemara says, Kazaysa Pisma, they ate a Kazayas of the Korban Pesach, the Halela Poka Igra, and they would be singing the Hallel on top of the rooftops, they would be singing and banging with their feet, you had the perception as if the roof is going to collapse. Like a lot of times you go to a wedding and there's so much dancing, the floor is shaking, you feel as if the floor is going to cave in. So the Gemara said that's the way it was, Bizman Abayis. They used to eat the Korban Pesach on the ground level, the first three cups of wine, three quarters of the Seder they had on the ground level, and then after benching, they went up to the rooftop. So you can split your Seder in two, but you have to wait till after the benching, because you have to have Kiddush B'makom Suda, and then you have to bench the same place where you wait, and then you can leave. One of the special nidim on Pesach night is Haseba. The Gemara has a machlokes. The Gemara says only two of the arba koses require Haseba, but we're not sure which two. Whether the first two koses require Haseba or the last two koses require Haseba. So the Gemara says since it's a shaila, machlokes, so we require Haseba on all four. The famous Ran discusses over there, the whole din of Haseba is only with the Rabbanon. So why are you machmir if it's a safik the Rabbanon? Why don't you go the kula? So there's a whole discussion why you don't go the kula. But Lamai said we don't go the kula. We require haseba on all the four cups of wine. So that's a shaila. What is the nature of the mitzvah of haseba? So Tosis understands that haseba is the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah of drinking abrikosis, and haseba is the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. And if you drank the abrikosis without haseba, you ate the matzah without haseba, you're not yoytze mid the Rabbanon. Haseba is only with the Rabban. You can't say you're not Yotze Matzah in Atar. You're not Yotze the Matzah in the Rabban. You have to eat over again. You look in the Rambam, Rav Elbel of Soloveitchik is quoted as having pointed out. You look in the Rambam, he never has such a discussion about the possibility of having to eat over the Matzah, drink over the Yain. So from the Rambam, you get the impression that Matzah you Yotze with or without Haseba. The Abrikosis you Yotze with or without Haseba. There's a mitzvah of Haseba. If you drank the wine, believe Haseba, so you are Yotze. The mitzvah of Haseba. The Rambam holds. The mitzvah has Haseba, the Rambam writes, is l'chatchila kol asuda, not just for the matzah and for the arba koses. You should eat the whole evening the Haseba with the exception of the morah. Morah is zechel by morah is chayeim, and Haseba is zechel acheres, so that's a contradiction. But the Rambam writes, l'chatchila, you should have the whole suda the Haseba. The Rambam quotes that Rambam. that l'chatchila one should eat the entire seuda be'haseva, but I don't think anybody follows that today. By us, haseva is very uncomfortable. We're not used to eating the haseva at all. And they quoted the Chazon Ish, and the Stakula said, we don't follow that Ramo. Today, haseva does not demonstrate their haseva at all. It's bad enough we have haseva by the Arba Kaisis and with the matzah and mastik. We don't try to make haseva l'chatchila kol asuda. According to the Rambam, we explain that there are two kiyumim. Rav Elbel has in the Sefer, what the Maharal in Prague said before, that there is a double kiyum in Arba Kaisis. There's one kiyum of reciting four brachas al hakos, and then there's another kiyum of drinking four times l'chaim. You drink a toast. Sometimes you go to a wedding, they drink a toast to the Queen, and a toast to the President of the United States, and a toast to the Rosh HaMemshal. So we drink four toasts, all the four toasts to the Baruch Shalom. And we drink the four toasts. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has his famous chiddush. He thinks there was a big machlokes years ago whether grape juice is dinu kiyayin or not. Historically, the historical background was that here it was assumed in America when they first started the grape juice, it was not considered their wine. The majority of the rabbanim felt that it's shahakol, that grape juice cannot be used for kiddush and abdolah. And then during prohibition years, when it was against the law to make alcoholic beverages, unless it was necessary for sacramental purposes, so the Jews were all making wine, because we need it for sacramental purposes, for Kiddush and Abdullah and Abakasis. So one of Rabbi Louis Ginsberg, who was connected with the Jewish Theological Seminary, massa to the government that it's not true, that the Jews don't need wine for sacramental purposes. You can say Kiddush and Abdullah and grape juice. That's what it says in the Gemara. You can squeeze out a cluster of grapes on Erev Shabbos, Rashi says. Doesn't mean you squeeze it out on Shabbos. If you get stuck out of town somewhere for Shabbos and you don't have any wine, so you can buy a cluster of grapes, squeeze out the grapes, and use the grape juice as a kiddush. So that's what Louis Ginsberg published, the whole Shuvah, many years ago, in Hebrew. And he told the government that it's not true, the Jews don't really need wine. So at that time, many Rabbanim were very upset. One of the prominent Rabbanim at that time wrote a whole essay in his Sefer. There was a Rabbi Horowitz from Connecticut who attacked Louis Ginsberg. He considers him the Rosh HaKaroim. He writes, Rosh HaKaroim Kera Shel Sheinu Mesacha. He spells Kera with an ayin. Used to call it Karayim, they made a tear in the Jewish people. Kerashem Misacha. And he has a whole attack, and he says that the grape juice is not Bar Piagofen. What the Gemara says, grape juice is Bar Piagofen, that's grape juice that wasn't treated chemically. If you let it sit, it'll ferment and it'll turn into wine. But if you treat it chemically and it can never turn into wine, so then the Knesset Sagdola writes like this, Rav Henkin Zechon Lebracha, years ago, before Rav Moshe became the prominent Pesach in the New York area. So before him was Rav Henkin. So Rav Henkin published the Shuvah about 70 years ago, 60 years ago, about this. He holds that grape juice is not Bar Piagofen, it's Shahakol. Grape juice is only Bar Piagofen. If it wasn't treated chemically, it can turn into wine, it can ferment. So Rav Moshe was the one who paskin like Louis Ginsberg, and that's why everybody's using grape juice, because they relied on Rav Moshe. In fact, I think by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they use wine and wafer in their sacramental Avodah Zarah ritual, and they believe that after they say their hocus pocus, so the wine is converted into the blood of Osa Hoish, and the wafer is converted into the flesh. You have the flesh and blood of Osa Hoish. They had a shaila years ago whether they can use grape juice or they have to use wine. So they paskin, I think it was brought to the Pope. So the Pope said, if Rav Moshe said it's good enough for the Jews to finish, but they follow Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was from Kugel, the Kolo El Kugel. It's not a joke. They decided to follow Rav Moshe's plan. So Rav Moshe was the one who said that even though he was the one who had this accepted by the Orthodox Jews, the grape juice, the present grape juice is acceptable for Kiddush and Bar Piagofen and so on, but for Arba Kaisis is not. Why? Because the double kiyum in Arba Kaisis is, the one kiyum in Arba Kaisis is that you say Brach HaLakos. So Kiddush and grape juice is fine. But the other kiyum is that you're drinking a toast. It doesn't make sense to drink a toast over orange juice, or drink a toast over tomato juice. You drink a toast over something that has alcoholic content. So Rav Moshe thought that for that, the grape juice wouldn't be good. You have to have dafke yain. Rav Moshe brought a raya, because the Talmud Yerushalmi tells a story, the Agos Maimon quotes this on the bottom of the Rambam. Talmud Yerushalmi tells a story that one of the Tanoim used to drink arbekoises on Pesach night, and he had headaches until Shavuot. He was suffering until Shavuot. Rav Moshe says he probably had headaches because it was wine, not necessarily mukhruch. It could be that he was allergic to grape juice. That Rav Moshe assumes. Probably had headaches because it was wine. So who told him to use wine? Why doesn't he use grape juice? I hold that grape juice is good. So it's a raya that grape juice is no good for abacosis. So Mr. Herzog, who's the balabos of Kedem wine, was very happy that Rav Moshe gave the psak that grape juice is good for Kiddush and Abdullah, because he makes a lot of money on that psak. He sells a lot of grape juice. But he said there's room to ding Zahara Moshe's raya. He said, and in the days of the Talmud, there was no such thing as grape juice in the month of Nisan. The grapes are squeezed out September, October. Today, we treat the grape juice chemically, so it stays grape juice and it doesn't ferment. But in the days of the Talmud, they didn't have this secret, how to treat the grape juice. So any grape juice that they had already fermented by the time it came Pesach, and there was no grape juice in the Tzias. So he said, you can ding Zahara Moshe's raya. Okay. That's the shot. Rav Soloveitchik, when he was asked about the grape juice, so he said that the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Shosan Chai. If you drink the abacosis Yayin Chai, you didn't do mezigah. So it doesn't taste so good. One opinion in the Tanoim is that you don't say Bor Piyagofen if you drink Yayin Chai. We don't pass on like that. We pass. We do say Bor Piyagofen, but you're not supposed to use Yayin Chai for Kiddush and Abdullah. It should be mazik. It should be tasty. So the Gemara says, if he'd used Yayin Chai for the abacosis, Yoytzei the bracha lakos, that's the Girsa Sarama Barif. Yoytzei the din of the four brachas lakos, but you're not Yoytzei the mitzvah of Cheirus. So the Rama writes, why not? Because it has to be a Shtiyah Areva, has to be pleasant tasting. So Rav Soloveitchik said, if a person doesn't really enjoy wine, he enjoys grape juice, so it's preferable he should use Dafke grape juice. Okay. To be careful that you use grape juice. That's if you're using grape juice, you should make sure that it's Bor Piyagofen. And Eretz Yisrael, the Badatz, relies on their Pesach, the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, who paskin that if you mix 51% grape juice with 49% water, that's still Bor Piyagofen. So not everybody agrees with that. But all the grape juice that the Carmel doesn't follow the Minchas Yitzchak, not Lahakal, not Lahachman. So when they sell grape juice, it's 100% grape juice. But when the Badat sells their grape juice, many of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael claim that that's shahakol, that you're not yetzid at that. So that's questionable. So make sure you get wine or grape juice that's Bor Piyagofen. So we recite Kiddush, and the Kiddush we plan that it's going to be B'mokum Suda, and then we have Kadesh Urchatz Karpas. We wash with Dovish and Tibula B'mashke, and we dip the Karpas into some kind of a mashka or another. Our practice is that we dip the karpas into salt water. The Rambam's practice was that he dipped the karpas into charoses. We don't follow that Rambam. Yeah, what is the whole issue of davish and tevula b'mashka? So the Gemara explains that yadai stam yadai mashniyah saying the rest of the body is tohor. Yadai matmeos min ator. There is no such thing that half of the body is tummy, half of the body is tohor. Either you're tohor or you're tummy. So the Rabbanan, they invented such a thing as tumas yadaim. So if you'll, and since the Yadayim Ashniyah, so if you touch Truma, you'll passel a Truma. So because if you touch Truma, you passel, so there's a din. Whatever passels Truma is metami mashkim lios tchila. So if you touch with the hands, you dip your finger into the water, as you're dipping in the carpus into the water, you'll dip your finger into the water, so your fingers, your hands are shniyas, that'll make the water into a rishon l'tumah. The whole thing is a strange din, medirabon. The hands are shniyas, and when it transmits the tumah, it becomes a higher level. That's what they made it takana. Becomes a rishon l'tumah. Then if that will become a rishon l'tumah, so then that will be metame the karpas. The karpas will become a sheni, and then when you eat the karpas, it will make you tummy. And if you're tummy, you won't be able to eat the korban pesach. So the shail is, but nobody's eating any korban pesach this man is there. Nobody's eating any truma, nobody's eating any maisa sheni. No one's eating anything. We're all tummy. The whole body is tummy. Forget about the hands. So what do we accomplish? What do you mean, Atilas Yadai? The rest of the body is tummy. Even after we wash our hands, the whole body is tummy. Whoever ever went to a funeral is tummy. So what do we accomplish by washing the Atilas Yadai? So this is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. They call it a machlekes Tosfos and the Rambam. The Rambam says this was a takana that was instituted years ago. And even though the reason for the takana doesn't apply, this man is there, that's a davish of the minyan, you still have to wash with davish of the tevilah mashkan say a bracha, even though it doesn't, the whole background doesn't really make any sense, this man is there. And Tosfos disagrees with the Rambam. Tosfos' opinion is that this whole takana of washing for davish of the tevilah mashkan only applies this man that they noyig tahara, when it makes sense. And the only tuma you have is tuma say a dime, but if it were all tameim anyway, the whole body's tuma, so you don't accomplish anything. So you don't have to wash until it's a daim at all. So on Pesach night, we do wash. We wash without a bracha. What is washing without a bracha? So that's in Shulchan Aruch. We make up shorah between Tosfos and the Rambam. We machma like the Rambam to require until it's a daim for davish and tevulah b'mashke. But according to the Rambam, you say a bracha. According to Tosfos, it'll be a bracha l'batala. So we wash with davish and tevulah b'mashke, and you don't say a bracha. And what's with all year long? All year long also, you wash with davish and tevulah b'mashke, you don't say a bracha. So some are careful, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, whenever they eat an apple that's rinsed off and it still has droplets of water, or if you're dipping a Danish into coffee, or you're dipping a cookie into milk, a davish into vilva mashka, or you have grapes that were rinsed off and they're still moist, so you wash without a bracha when you eat a davish into vilva mashka. Many are makbed like that. But the olam is knowing, most of the people are knowing not to wash all year long. For davish into vilva mashka, they follow tesis, that you don't require. So that's the famous comment that the Taz makes here on Karpas. Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh Mikol Halayla. How come we only wash the Tilis Yadayim without a bracha on Leil Pesach and all year long we don't? So he says the answer is we're doing wrong all year long. Mikan Tochachas Megula. From Pesach night you see that all year long you're supposed to do the same. You're supposed to wash the Dovish and Tevilah Mashka all year long without saying a bracha. That's what the Taz says. The Netziv in his Hagdamah to his Haggadah tries to defend this minhag olam that people all year long do not wash with davish and tevilah mashka only on Pesach night. So the Taz asks the question: Manish tana laila zavos sefizdavka on Pesach night? We follow the Rambam halfway. We wash without a bracha, and all year long we don't wash at all. So he says, look, we do a lot of things Pesach night. Zecher lemigdash, zecher lekorban Pesach. So the days of the Beis Hamikdash, they had to be nizer and tumah v'tar. So then they had to take a wash with davish and tevilah mashka. So tonight we wash on Pesach night the zecher lemigdash. That's why many Yekis have the minig in their Svarim. It's not just the Balabatim don't know. In their Svarim, in their Achrayim, it says like that, that when you wash the Dovish and Tevilah Mashke, Urchatz, Karpas, only the Balabais washes. They don't require of each member of the household to wash. When you're washing before Moitzi Matzah, everybody has to wash. You're not allowed to eat HaMoitzi, not allowed to eat bread without Netilas Yadayim. But before Karpas, many people in this neighborhood have the practice only the father of the household washes. Why? Because it's only a Zecher LeMikdash, so it's sufficient if the father of the household makes the Zecher LeMikdash. Just like the Netziv writes in his Hakdamah, there is a question, why does the father of the household wear a kittel on Pesach night? What is that all about? So the official reason that the Magen Avraham gives is that on Pesach night, we're afraid that the person may get carried away in sin. He's using, the Gemara says in the end of Cheskas Habatim, that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, it's not proper to have a very elaborate meal with all the courses, like we have when you go to a wedding. So they have 25 courses, and they have a Viennese table, and they have fancy silverware, fancy plates, and five plates on top of each other, flowers and everything, mamish, nothing missing at all. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. All year long, you're not allowed to do that. Zechele churban. On Pesach night, you take everything out. You take your most expensive silverware and the fanciest plates and everything, you take everything out. So we're afraid on Pesach night, the person has all of this expensive silverware and everything, so he may get carried away. He may think that he's on top of the world. He may decide to sin. So we wear a kittel to remember we're all going to die. People are buried. When they bury Mason, they bury them in a kittel. So we remind ourselves that we shouldn't get carried away. So that's why the Magen Avraham says, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes that if one is in Shloshim or one is in Avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh, for a parent, there's no need to wear the kippah. He has the death in front of his eyes. He's not going to get carried away. Someone just died in the family, so there's no need to wear the kippah. So this is what the Magen Avraham presents. The reason for the kittel is Yaskel or Yoyim HaMisa, not to get carried away. And the Oval doesn't have to wear the kittel, he's not going to get carried away. So the Vilna Goyim is quoted as having disagreed. The Vilna Goyim thought, what do you mean, Yaskel or Yoyim HaMisa? Who's going to get carried away? The Vilna Goyim wasn't such a wealthy man. So when he had the most elaborate Seder, it didn't have so many courses, it didn't have such fancy silver, he's not going to get carried away. So he thinks that the kittel is for a different reason. The kittel is because he thinks he's reconstructing history. When they used to go to Yerushalayim to eat karbonis, karbon Pesach, karbon Shlomim, whatever, so what, they walk in with their own suits, the Shabzika suit, and they ate the karbon Pesach just like this. They ate karbonis just like that. He thinks they probably wore a special chaluk lavan. The Gemara says, "Bameshi mishmoshe kol shivus yimei miluim." The Gemara says in Tainus on Daf Yud Aleph, when Moshe Rabbeinu was makruv the karbonis, the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar, shivus yimei miluim, Aaron and Bonav were not yet chosen to do the Aveda. So Moshe Rabbeinu did the Aveda. So the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu can't wear big tikkunim. He's not Aaron and Bonav. Only Aaron and Bonav wear big tikkunim. But it's not mistaken that he wore regular big day chol, what big day Shabbos? If it's makruv karbonis and the big day Shabbos, doesn't make sense. The Gemara says he wore a chaluk lavan. So the Vilna Gaon understands from that Gemara that just like when Moshe Rabbeinu was makriv, he had to wear some chaluk lavan, something different. So when the Yisraelim, all the years of the Beis Hamikdash, when the Yisraelim ate the karbanos, they probably also didn't wear their regular Shabbos dikir suit. They probably wore a chaluk lavan. So he says that the wearing of the kittel is not at all yaskal yom hamisa, but it's rather to reminisce about the fact that in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, they used to wear a chaluk lavan when they ate the karbanos. Yeah, according to Vilna Gaon, even one is an avelus should also wear the kittel. The minig is not so. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. Minig is not so. Some of those always follow the Gaon, follow the Gaon. But most people don't always follow the Gaon. So just like by the wearing of the kittel, we don't encourage everyone to wear a kittel. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, they probably all wore a chaluk lavan. We only have the balabais wear the chaluk lavan zecher l'migdosh. So that's why many Yekish Eposkim write that when it comes to the Nitzilus Yadayim, before the Karpas, it's sufficient if the Balabayis washes Nitzilus Yadayim. It's only a Zechal HaMikdash anyway, all year long we don't do it. So since it's only Zechal HaMikdash, it's sufficient if the Balabayis washes. But that's the minority meaning. The majority meaning is that everybody does wash without a bracha. In Europe, they used to have a lot of Yeshuvinikas. Yeshuvinikas were very religious farmers who didn't, there was no shul nearby, there wasn't a rabbanim nearby, so they were big amaratzim, but they were very religiously motivated, they were very frum, but they didn't know anything. So they tell the story about the girl who married a yeshuvinik, and it came Pesach night, so he davened Mayrev, and he said Kiddush, and he asked his wife, she should give vetcher, she should give supper. So she said, what do you mean supper? I remember my father always said Hallel, he always said Nishmas, Pesach, you don't just give supper. So he said, "Was verstehst du nicht? You don't understand. When Pesach falls out on Rosh Chodesh, then you say Hallel. When Pesach falls out on Shabbos, he's saying Nishmas. It's not Rosh Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. So give me supper. He's ready to say Hamoitzi. He's gonna eat supper." So they have a lot of Yeshuvinik stories. There are millions of Yeshuvinik stories. So they tell a story about the Yeshuvinik that he washed his hands before Karpas, and he said, "The Baruch Hashem, Elokein Melech Olam, Hashem Kedoshan Mesos of Tzivon." So he asked him, "What's all about?" He said, if all of the instructions says you wash your hands, you don't say Al Nitzilus Yadayim. So you should know that that's not what the instructions mean. It means you don't say, and a lot of Haggadahs say corrected. It says you don't say a bracha, because if you just say you don't say Al Nitzilus Yadayim, some Yeshuvinik may misunderstand. My father, Zechon Lebracha, always used to tell Yeshuvinik stories. They should really have a course here in the college about Jewish Yiddish culture. Just like they have the others have Schwarz culture, we should have Jewish culture. All the Yeshuvinik stories, they're very rich. So we have Karpas. What is the role of Karpas? So the Gemara says Kadesh Yishalo Hatinoikas. This is quotes from Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim, who wrote a whole piyut for Shabbos Agadol. Here in the yeshiva they never say it, but in other shuls in the neighborhood they do say it. So this Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim wrote a very lamdish piyut. You look in the Or Zeruah, and other Rishonim have long commentaries on every line of his piyut. But Shabbos Hagolah, he goes through all the dinim of Bedikas Chametz and all the dinim of the Seder and all the Hagolah and Libon. Everything goes all the dinim of Pesach there. So Tesis quotes this line from that piyut for Shabbos Hagolah that the reason why we have karpas so early in the meal is kadesh yishalo hatinok. What's going on? Manish tana alayla nos. If you say kiddush, normally you wash hamaitzi. How come you're eating vegetables now? Don't you need kiddush b'makom suda? So the father should say, well, we have to tell you a long story about tzipitzias mitzrayim. So the Gemara is explaining why you have karpas so early, but why do you have karpas at all? So the Rabbi Yosef Tevelim says, no, that's a halachic reason. That's not for this gimmick. They sheish la tinoikas. That's because we really have to say bar priha doma on the moror. Because when you say hamoitzi at the beginning of the meal, the Gemara says it only covers those foods which are dvarm haboy machmas hasuda, which are foods that fill you up. The fish and the flesh and the soup. The dessert is not included. If you have ice cream for dessert, or you have fruits for dessert, so that's not really to fill you up. So really you have to say a bracha on that. That's in the middle of the meal, the person says, Amosi is eating mint, so I have to eat a chocolate bar. Chocolate bar is a nasha, has nothing to do with filling you up, so you have to say a separate bracha on the chocolate bar. Someone wants to drink a cup of schnapps in the middle of the meal. If schnapps doesn't fit in with the meal, that's not to fill you up, so you have to say a separate bracha. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has a pilpul. Many Jews have a custom that if you have fish and then you're going to have flesh, so you have schnapps in between. So the fish is Dvar Mahabai Machmas Hasud and the flesh is Dvar Machmas Hasud. So maybe because the meaning is that we drink schnapps in between, maybe that schnapps doesn't require a bracha. Maybe that's called Dvar Mahabai Machmas Hasud and maybe not. That's questionable. But stam in the middle of nowhere, guy's going to have schnapps in the middle of the meal. Of course you have to say a separate bracha. That's not to fill you up. So the Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim is of the opinion that when you have the maror in the middle of the meal, which mishugana eats bitter herbs in the middle of the meal, it doesn't taste good. So you really have to say bar pri adoma on the maror, like we say hanamaitzi. You say hamaitzi and then you say shekadoshon v'mitzvos v'tzivano al achilas matzah. So in the maror we should also say two brachas. We should say first bar pri adoma, then we should say al achilas maror. So the Rabbi Yosef Tevelin feels that that's a problem, some kind of a problem. You can't say two brochas over the same thing, but you just did it on the matzah. So he says, no, you have 2.5 matzahs. You say hamoitzi on the two shleimas, because that's a mitzvah of sudas yontav. You have lechem mishnah. You're saying alachilas matzah on the prusa, that's the lechem oni. And you're eating kazais from this and kazais from that. So you're not really saying the two brochas. You're not fulfilling the two mitzvahs. You're not killing two birds with one stone. You're not fulfilling two mitzvahs with one kazayas. But over here, if you're going to say bar pri adoma and the mar, you only have one mar. So you're going to say bar pri adoma and then al achilas mar. So you're using the same mar as the chefter shal mitzvah to enable you to say bar pri adoma and the chefter shal mitzvah to be out in the mitzvah mar. So that would be a violation of chavilas chavilas. So that's why the chachamim introduced. That's how the story begins. Why you have karpas all the way in the beginning? That's kadesh yishla tinoikas. But that you have to have karpas, you have to have some vegetables to say bar pri ha'adoma. So if you're going to have in the middle of the meal after hamoitzi, you're going to say bar pri ha'adoma the vegetable. That's a brachal of atola. A normal vegetable is dvar mahabai machnas asuda. So you would have to say bar pri ha'adoma after the first half of halil, after the second cup of wine, before you wash until it's yadayim. So you should say bar pri adoma on some vegetable then, in order to pater the maror that's going to come later. Why did they move the bar pri adoma up to the beginning of the seder kadesh yishalo hatinok? That's Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim says. So Tosis doesn't agree with Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim on two fronts. Tosis says, number one, the maror is covered with hamoitzi because it's dvarm habayim. It is dvarm habayim machmas hasudim. Tosis has two shades of interpretation. Why? Tosis in Sochem, Tosis in Brochus. So one Taisa says, because al pi halacha, the maror is on the menu tonight, whether you like it or not. The Rabbanu Shalom drew up the menu, and maror is on the menu. The halacha says, al matzah, and Ram Yachul, you have to first eat matzah, then you have to eat maror. So the halacha declares that maror is Ram Haboy Mach Mesasul. And Taisa says, number two, what kind of maror are you having? In the days of the Baal HaTosis, nobody ate horseradish. That was a later invention. Days of Baal HaTosis, they ate romaine lettuce. Well, main lettuce is a vegetable salad. People, all year long, people eat vegetable salad. It's healthy. That's Dvar Mahabai Machmas Hasuda. The Taisa says, Mora doesn't require a bar pri adoma. That cannot be correct. And they say, number two, it cannot be what Rabbi Yosef Tevelim says. He says, bar pri adoma over the karpas in the beginning, right after before the manishtana. And that's going to cover the bracha over the Mora an hour later, till the children finish all the gematrios and the rashitavis. And everything that's going to be an hour later. The Tosfos quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, Why do you wash until the Sedan? Just wash for the Davish at Tevulah B'mashka. Why do you wash again? So the Gemara says, because of Hesach Hadas. So it's the same Hesach Hadas with the Burpee or Adama. So Taisa says, the whole Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim is not correct. And they say, according to Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim, the Burpee Adama covers the Morah, but they think that it's not correct. So really, there's a Hesach Hadas. You should really say, burn the Foshes after you finish eating the Karpas. If you say bar pradoma on a vegetable before the meal, and you plan to continue eating vegetables in the middle of the meal, so the bar pradoma covers the vegetables, and then the brichas hamazon at the end covers all the vegetables that you ate in the meal and before the meal. It's all one hemshach. But Tosis claims over here there's a hesach hadas in between the beginning of the eating of the karpas before the meal and the eating of the mar in the middle of the meal. The mar says hesach hadas. So Tosis, according to Tosis, she really say bar nefoshes. And some of the old Haggadahs have talk about some of the Haggadahs from the days of the Rishonim that they printed recently from the Kisra, yeah, they talk about Bar Nefoshes after you finish eating the Karpas. So the Maharam Rutenberg, who lived at the end of the period of the Balei Atosis, followed the practice of the Hasidi Ashkenaz, that for many generations the practice was that the Republicans voted Republican and the Democrats voted Democrat. That the Sfardim followed the Sfardish Poskim and Ashkenazim followed the Ashkenazish Poskim and each one followed his own sheep. And then in the days of the Hasidi Ashkenaz, they developed an attitude in Psak Halacha to try to do the mitzvahs in such a way to satisfy all the different opinions. To be Yotzi, they call Hashitas. So we have in Shulchan Aruch several times, quite a few times, in Arachayim and in Yoredei, different cases where they quote the Maharam Rutenberg, who introduced practices that you should do things in order to satisfy both shittas. So this is one of the several cases. So the Agudas Maimonides quotes this. You should be careful when you eat the karpas and you say Baruch Adonai, you should have a mind to cover the maror. But you should be careful not to eat a full kazayis, because upon it to tesis, you have to say Baruch Nefashis. So you should be choshes for the both shittas. Aye, but you look in the Rambam, and the Rambam writes that when you eat karpas, you have to have a kazayis of karpas. So you're not satisfying all the opinions. You're leaving out one of the major shittas is the Rambam. Rambam says you have to eat a kazayis of karpas. So the Haggadah Maimonides quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg. You read a few lines later in the Rambam, where the Rambam talks about eating maror, so the Rambam doesn't say you have to eat a kazayis maror. It just says you eat maror. So how can that be? On Karpas, the Rambam says you have to have Karpas. And on Morah, he doesn't write. The Mishnah says you need Kazayis. When the Rambam writes the Dinam of Morah earlier, he writes that you need a Kazayis. When he gives the Seder, he doesn't write that you need Kazayis. So, Ma Pitom, why did he write that you need a Kazayis of Karpas? So the answer is up there, there's a Toy Sefer. The line that says in the Rambam, that she need a Kazayis, doesn't belong by Karpas. It really belongs by Morah. That's what the Maharam Rutenberg recommended. So many have that practice. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. We should follow this recommendation of the Maharam Rutenberg. When you say the Bar Adama over the Karpas, we should have in mind to cover the Mora, and we should be careful not to eat a Kazayis, that it shouldn't be a Hesach Hadas. Look, a lot of people are hungry on Pesach, Pesach night. They were working a whole day. So they're hungry. So if they want to eat, they'll let them eat, isn't they? Okay, so tell them to eat more than that. Let them keep on nibbling a little more vegetables as they go along. Let him eat karpas now. Let him eat a little more after Avodah Mayino, and eat a little more so there won't be any Hesach Hadas. Okay? It's only Hesach Hadas if you don't eat any vegetables from the karpas till tomorrow. But those who are hungry, they want to eat a kazai. So tell them they should continue to nibble a little more. What kind of vegetables do you need for karpas? What's the difference? What kind of vegetables? It should be a vegetable. They say Bar Pri Hadam, according to this Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. Because the whole purpose of the karpas is in order to cover the Bar Pri Hadam for the morah. So the Magen Avraham says no. But since the Mishnah says that you bring yirokos, and yirokos means green vegetables, so you shouldn't use potatoes. He says, the Mishnah means to say you should use, the Chachamim wanted us to use a green vegetable. Years ago, there were Rabbanim in America who wanted to teach the Balabatim that bananas are Bar Pri Hadama. Bananas grow on a tree. A lot of people thought you could say Bar Pri Weitz. And that's a machlokes in the tour, where they say Bar Pri Weitz or Bar Pri Hadama on a banana, because the whole tree collapses at the end of the season, and then the roots remain below the ground, and then the roots grow up again. Rabbi Tendler told us many years ago, when he was doing his work in Columbia University, he couldn't believe that this was true, that the whole tree collapsed. So he had them lay out the fortune of money, and they planted, especially, he wasn't in that field. He was in biology, no? Microbiology. He wasn't in botany. So he had them plant the banana tree to him, and the whole banana tree collapsed at the end of the year, and the roots remained there, and then next year the whole tree grew up again. So that's a machlokes in the tour where they say bar pri hetz or bar pri hadam. Because the Gemara says you only say bar pri hoetz when the fruit, when the branches remain from year to year. That's the Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the last line. The branches remain from year to year, and the fruits grow next year on the same branches. But here the fruits don't grow on the same branches, but the roots remain from year to year. So you don't have to plant it again. So the tour has two opinions. So years ago there were Rabbanim who wanted to teach the Balabatim that the correct bracha over banana is Bar Pri Hadama because it is suffix because of the machlekes in the tour. So they encouraged the Balabatim to use bananas for karpas as a gimmick to teach everybody that the bracha banana is Bar Pri Hadama. But alright, maybe it was a hirasha, maybe it was necessary then. But Lamais, the Magen Avraham says he's supposed to use a green vegetable. After we have the karpas, we have the yachatz magid, we break a matzah in half, and then we recite the Haggadah. What is that all about? The Rambam doesn't have yachatz over here. Rambam has yachatz before hamoitzi. The Gemara says that lechemoni means madarke shalani beprusa, you should be out to the mitzvah matzah with a broken matzah, bedavke, not a shlema, bedavke with a prusa. So why do we break the matzah over here? So the Maharal Miprag writes in his commentary on the Haggadah, we have two drushes on the word lechemoni. One drush is lechem she'oinim olav dvarim harbei. Matzah should be in front of us on the table when we recite the Haggadah. And number two, lechemoni madarke shalani beprusa. So if you combine the two together, so what it means is you should have a lechem prusa, a matzah prusa on the table when you recite the Haggadah. So that's why we introduce yachatz. These simonim of the Seder disappears in the Haggadah's Maimonides. This is from the earlier, from Bali Atosis in the basement drush of Shalrashi. So they had, these are the simanim that they have, not like the Rambam. Kadosh Uchatz, Karpatz, Yachatz, you have Yachatz before Magid, in order that the Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim should be at the time that you have the broken matzah in front of you. The Haggadah has to be recited in the language that people understand. If you don't understand, you have to translate it. So Shulchan Aruch says you have to say it in English. Shulchan Aruch quotes that because there were Bali Atosis who lived in England and their wives didn't understand Hebrew. So they quote in Shulchan Aruch that the Rabbein Aliyomi London said the Haggadah in English so his wife should understand. So it's important. We have to know that the people participating in the Seder have to understand the Haggadah. But the way we have the Girsa in the Mishnah, it says, Misalkan es ha-shulchan, you take away the food in front of the father of the household, take away the whole Kaira, with all the matzahs, no works. Bozen kosheni, misalkan sasulkan, then it says, v'kan ha-bein shoyl, manishtan ha-layla zemikol ha-layla. So the way we have the girsa in the Mishnah says that these are the four shaylas that the son asks. So Rashi used to point out that in the standard editions of the Rambam, some pointed out to me that there are other kisviyad, but you don't have this. They think that the more correct version doesn't have this. But in the standard editions of the Rambam, it says, the Kan Habein Shoyel, and the son asks, as Rav Soloveitchik said, whatever Narishi questions he wants to ask. He asks the son, do you have anything that you want to ask me? So the kid can ask anything he wants. And then the father of the household, reciting the Haggadah, should say, Manishtana Lailanza. So that was his practice, that even after the children would say Manishtana, he would repeat again Manishtana because of this reading in the Rambam, that the Oimer HaHaggadah says, Manishtana Halailanza. And then we go on to recite the Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rav Soloveitchik used to discuss why did the Tanoim choose, the Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim says that they chose that we should recite Arami Avirali Parshas Mikra Bikurim, we should darshan it, to give drushes of Torah Shabbat Peh, giving additional levels of interpretation on the Pesukim. So Yom used to discuss this. Why did they choose Arami Avirali? Why don't they read Shmos Le'era by B'Shalach? Why don't you read the Chumash about Yitzhiyus Mitzrayim? What do you pick on Arami Yavid Avi for? So he used to always give different suggestions as to this. I always had a simplistic suggestion. There is a halacha that Ram Shebichsav, you're not allowed to recite Bal Peh. So the Rabbeinu Yain in the first Perek in Brachas comments on the Mishnah there. It says if you missed Zman Kriya Shema, so you're not Yitzhi Kriya Shema. So he blew it. So the Mishnah says, Lo hifsid, it's not so bad, he didn't lose out. Go to Makari Batera. What do you mean, Lo hifsid? He's not Yotze Kriyashma. Gemara says, no, what the Mishnah means is, Lo hifsid abrachas. even though it's after Zman Kriya Shema, he woke up late in the morning, missed those Zman Kriya Shema, he's still permitted to recite the Birchas Kriya Shema. So how do you read the Mishnah? Lahiv Sid Karim HaKarei BaTorah. What does it mean, Lahiv Sid HaBrachas? How do you read it? Karim HaKarei BaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik explained what it means to understand this Rav Yonah. He said, you can't recite Birchas Kriya Shema without saying Kriya Shema in the middle. If you miss Zman Kriya Shema, so what you're going to say is just say Birchas Kriya Shema. That's in Kriya Shema. You have to say the Kriya Shema al Seder HaBrachas. The brachas don't make any sense. So you're gonna when you miss the Zman Kriya Shema, you're gonna repeat. You're gonna say Kriya Shema now, Shalom Bizmanoi, not the Yotzei, and you're gonna recite the brachas. So the question is, how are you allowed to recite Kriya Shema Baal Peh? When you recite Kriya Shema Bizmano, so that's a special heter. We lift the prohibition of Dvarim Shebichtav Yatar Hashem Yom and Al Peh. That's what Rabbi Yonah says. Because that's mitzvah to the kaf. The Torah says you have to recite Kriya Shema. So it's not mistaber. The Torah doesn't mean everyone should take out a Sefer Torah and read Kriya Shema from the Chumash. But if you miss the Zman Kriya Shema, so then we shouldn't permit you to recite Kriya Shema Baal Peh. So the answer is no. Since this parsha of Kriya Shema was singled out by the Torah as a parsha that's not subject to the prohibition, Ram Shemichsav, Yat Varshal Yom and Al Peh, so you can say whenever you want Baal Peh, even if you're not being Yotzei Kriya Shema. So that's what the Mishnah says. Hakor mikan v'yelech, if he missed his man Kriya Shema, lahipsid habrachis, the Gemara interprets, he doesn't lose out on the brachis because he's allowed to say the Kriya Shema Baal Peh, and it's considered a reciting of Kriya Shema to enable him to recite the brachis Kriya Shema. So Rabbi Yoni elaborates some more. So he says, there are certain parshas that we are required to recite min HaTorah, and it's not reasonable to require that we should recite them by taking out a Sefer Torah. So it's self-understood that those parashas can be recited Baal Peh. So it gives you two more examples. It gives a Kriya Shema as one. Then it gives a second example, Parshas HaTomid. Many people skip Karbonos in the morning. So then Yoni says it's a Din Min HaTorah, that you're required to recite Parshas HaTomid every day. And he says you're allowed. Since it's a Din Min HaTorah, because the Gemara has on the left staff of Megillah that the Rabbanu Shalom told Avraham Avinu, that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, recite the Parsha Satam and Amale Ani Aleichem Kilu Hikraftem. I'll consider it as if, in the Shalma form, so saying, as if you actually brought the Korban HaTomid. And the Rabbanu Shalom said to Moshe, to Avraham Avinu. So Rabbanu Shalom said, so that's a Din Deraisin. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah quotes. You have to recite Parsha Satam and is a Din Deraisin. So he says, you're permitted to recite it Baal Peh. And then he gives the other example is Arami Avidovi. When you bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's not reasonable to require every farmer should recite Arami Avidovi from a Sefer Torah. They're not going to do that. So it's self-understood that when the Torah requires you should recite Arami Avidovi, you can say it by heart. And therefore, since when you bring Bikurim, you can say it by heart, even if you're not a farmer, even if you're not bringing Bikurim, in the middle of the winter, if you want to recite Pesach, you want to recite Arami Avidovi, you can say it by heart. So that's what I thought. Maybe it's based on that Rabbeinu Yonah. Maybe that's why the Tanoim picked Arami Avidovi. Rav Soloveitchik had very elegant explanations. He published some, were published after he passed away, as to why they picked Arami Avidovi. Maybe this is an easy explanation. They chose Arami Avidovi, that it should be permissible to recite it Baal Peh. When we recite the Eser Makos, there are more quotes in Shulchan Aruch and Minig that we spill out some of the wine. Dom Tzvadeya, Tzach Hadash Ba'achav, what is it all about? So the Mefarshim explained that we do not want to drink, on Pesach night we're drinking a toast to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We don't want to drink a toast to the fact that our enemies were punished. So we recite the whole Haggadah over the second cup of wine. The first cup of wine we recite Kiddush. And the second cup of wine, the whole Haggadah with Hashem Galana is recited. So those drops of wine that we recited, Dom Tzadeya, we spill over. We're not going to drink a toast to the fact that they punished, that they were punished. Unfortunately, they're human beings. They sinned and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them. We're not drinking to Mapalosim Shal Rishon. We recite the first half of the Hallel before Haloitzi. And then we recite the Bracha Sher Gi'olanu Golas Avosenu in Mitzrayim. The Rishonim have a machlokes, and it's a machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. Do you say Bor Pi Agofen over the second cup of wine? Mechaber follows those Rishonim, and there's many Sfardim follow this sheet of the Mechaber, that no Bor Pi Agofen is required for the second or the fourth cup of wine. first cup of wine you're starting off, of course you say Barpi Agaf, and the second cup is covered with the Barpi Agaf and over the first cup. They're assuming that there is no Hesar Hadas. The third cup of wine is after the Bichas HaMazon, so of course you need Barpi Agaf. Bichas HaMazon is a declaration that I finished eating, Siluk Achila. So of course you have to say Barpi Agaf and over the third cup of wine. The fourth cup of wine takes place half an hour, less than half hour after the third cup of wine. So the Sfardim hold, you don't need a Mechavah Pas, you don't need a Barpi Agaf, and then the second or the fourth cup of wine. The Ashkenazim follow those Rishayim, Taisus, that you require four times Barpi Agaf. Why? Why don't you follow that Shita that the second and the fourth cups are covered with the Barpi Agaf that we said earlier? So different shades of interpretation that the Rishayim have. Some say because this has a Hadas. Like Taisa says, you can't rely on the Barpi Hadama from the Karpas for the Mara. It was such a long pause, a Hesach Hadas. Some say Hesach Hadas. And other Rishonim say, what kind of Hesach Hadas? It's not between the third and the fourth cup, is Hesach Hadas. The first and the second cup, maybe, depending how many children you have, how many Gematrios and Rosh Hashanahs you have. Between the third and the fourth cup, there isn't so much Hesach Hadas. You're not singing Hallel, you're not taking an hour and a half for the Hallel. It doesn't take so long, the whole Hallel. So the other Rishonim say it's not a Hesach Hadas, it's a din that whenever you have a Brocha Lakos, you got to say Barpi Agaf whether you need it or not. That's a big discussion in Rishonim, whether that's true. That's what we do when you get married under the chuppah. So we say Barpi Agaf over the first cup of wine, the Brichas Erisin. Then they say Barpi Agaf over the second cup of wine, you recite the other six Brochas. So the question is, you just said Barpi Agaf 5 minutes ago. What are you saying, another Barpi Agaf? Can't say it's a Hesach Hadas. Everybody knows it's going to be a second cup of wine. There is no Hesach Hadas. If you have a rabbi hold a long drosha, I remember when my first daughter got married, so my son-in-law was from Switzerland. So five people came from Switzerland for the wedding. There was nobody here from the Chassenstadt. So my son-in-law's grandfather came from Switzerland. He wanted everybody to know who the family is. So he held a long drosha, 45 minutes under the chuppah, telling in between the heirs and the nisuin, telling everybody that he learned Barab Shlaima Breuer and his grandfather was Achsida Sherem and this and that and the other thing. That's Taka Hesach Hadas. So you needed a Barpi Agaf for the second cup of wine. But under normal circumstance, you don't have such a long drasha in between the first cup and the second cup under the chuppah. So the answer is it's another Bracha Lakos. Whenever you say Bracha Lakos, you have to say Barpi Agaf whether you need it or not. It's a question whether that's correct. You have to check in Hilchos Shabbos, but that's what we are assuming. The second cup of wine is the Brocha Shed Yeralonu. Supposed to be recited al akos. The Ashkenazim do say Barpi Agafen. So many have the practice after they complete the Brocha. Brocha to Hashem go al Yisrael. They have printed in a lot of Haggadahs. Hinei Nemuchan Mezum Lekai Mitzvos Kosheni Shalav Rekoisis. Then you say Barpi Agafen. So that's not to be said at that time. That's a hefsek. You're not allowed to be mafsek in the middle of the Brocha Lakos. You just said Asher Gealanu Gal Yisrael. You should say right away Barpi Agafen, and then drink the wine. If one is inclined to recite the Hinei Muchan Mezumah, so say it before Asher Gealanu. Say it before you start the whole halak. But you shouldn't say it in between Asher Gealanu and the Barpi Agafen. The same thing at the conclusion of the Birchas Hamazon and also. Many of the Chassidish Haggadahs they have with Nekudas, they printed it, that it should be recited. After you finish the whole Birchas Hamazon, so it says, Hinei Nebuchadnezzar Mezum Elokeinu Mitzvos Kol Shlishim Yarba Koisus, Shem Yichu Kol Shemichu, then you say Barpi Agafen. That's a hefsek. You're not allowed to say there, the Shem Yichu Kol Shemichu, it doesn't belong there. Even HaRachman says a machlekes. The Tur quotes that his brother felt that since the Birchas Hamazon is over, when you say Liolam Ayachasrein, and whenever you recite Birchas Hamazon, Allah Yayin, she say Barpi Agafen right away after Liolam Ayachasrein. So the Torah says we don't follow that position of his brother, Ben Yehuda, his brother. He says we assume that all the Harachman, since all year long we recite all the Harachman, so the Harachmans are considered an extension of the concluding Brocha Atoyva Meitiv, because we always say Harachman. So that's a question. Many people in the yeshivas have the shtick that some bittul Torah, they're concerned about bittul Torah. So they say the Olam Ayachasrein and they run back to learning the day's medrash. So if all year long you don't say Harachman, just on Pesach night you have nothing better to do with your time, so then you say Harachman, it's Taka Shaila Behepsik. So those people should Taka say Barpi Agafen right after the Olam Ayachasrein. The whole kula of the tour was because people are always in the practice of saying Harachman, so it becomes an extension of the Birchas Hamazon. Morgan Avram quoted this issue also regarding the fourth Brocha Lakos, the Birchas Hashir. So in many Haggadahs, they have the concluding bracha after the end of the Hallel, the second half of the Hallel. And then they have printed, and then you have Bar Priya Gofen. After that, you have Bar Priya Gofen. So the Magen Avraham quotes Machloikis about this. And he says, many Acharim are of the opinion that that's not proper. You shouldn't say these piyutim. These are for sure not part of the Haggadah. We should recite the Bar Priya Gofen right after the conclusion of the bracha over the fourth cup of wine. Say Bar Priya Gofen and then say the piyutim after that. Regarding the fourth cup of wine, also, one should note that there are two nuschos, Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svard. The Mishnah says that at the conclusion of the Hallel on Pesach night, we should recite Birchas Hashir. What exactly is Birchas Hashir? So the Gemara has a machlokes amaray. One opinion is that it's Yehalelucha. Like all year long, whenever we recite Hallel, we conclude with the bracha of Yehalelucha. On Pesach night also, we should say Yehalelucha. So manishtan Allah, so what's new? Whenever you say Hallel, you always say Yehalelucha. So the answer is no, Taisi says. All year long, Yehalelucha at the conclusion of Hallel depends on the minik amokam. That's a Mishnah Megillah. But on Leil HaSeder, you're obligated to say Yehalelucha. So that's one opinion of the Gemara, is that the Bichas Hashir is Yehalelucha. The other opinion of the Gemara is that the Bichas Hashir is Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach. The bracha that we say at the conclusion of the Pesuk of the Zimra on Shabbos and Yontif, that's one long bracha, Nishmas Kol Chai. So that should be recited at the conclusion of the Hallel. The Chayyodin quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that we all know if a person comes late to Shul, so he abridges the Pesukah de Zimra, he says, Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtabach. So the Vilna Gaon said that on Shabbos and Yom Tov you can't do that, you have to say Baruch Shama Ashrei Nishmas through Yishtabach. Because on Shabbos and Yom Tov the Baruch of Yishtabach begins with Nishmas Kochai. The Haraya that the Mishnah in Psochim refers to this as the Birchas Hashir. The Gemara has these two opinions. What is the Birchas Hashir that should be recited over the fourth cup of wine? So the Gemara says they're both nice ideas, so we follow both suggestions. So what does that mean? So there's a machlokes, the Rashbam in Tosfos. So the Rashbam says you take say both brachas at the end of the Hallel. Hodol Hashem Kitab Ki Liyom Chad, Hodol Hashem Kitab Ki Liyom Chad, then you say Yehalucha, Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mechulal Batish Bachos. Then you say the 26 psukim that end off Ki Liyom Chazdoi. And then you say in the Shmas Kol Chai in Yishtabach, and you say another bracha at the end of the Yishtabach. I have gotten the mail, the same Haggadahs that you got in the mail, that have, they were old Haggadahs from centuries ago, where they printed the Nusach like the Rashbam, that you say a bracha on Yehalelucha at the end of the Hallel, then you say a second bracha, you say two brachas over the fourth cup of wine. So this is no longer, I don't think that opinion is practiced any longer. I'm surprised that they ever printed such Haggadah. Apparently there was such a practice years ago. I don't know if anybody in the world does that today, but that's not the common practice, not by Sfarad, not by Ashkenaz. We don't say two brachas over the fourth cup of wine. It's a bracha l'mat tova. So there's a machlekes, a rishayim, and Shulchan Aruch, they quote, minig Ashkenaz and minig Sfarad, exactly how do you combine the Gemara Silkach and Minu Litravai? We say both. Exactly how do you say both? So the Nusach Ashkenaz is that you go in order. You conclude the Hallel, Hodel Hashem Kitav Kili Olam Chazdoi, Hodel Hashem Kitav Kili Olam Chazdoi. You say Halucha Hashem Alkeinu Kol Maasecha up until and not including Melech Mehulol Batish Brachos. You say Brachos, you say Kimiyor Levarel Mato Keil, and you stop over there. Then you say the 26 Pesukim Kili Olam Chaz. You say Nishmas Kochayin Yishtabach, and you conclude with the Bracha of Yishtabach. That's Minig Ashkenaz. You go in order. You say Halucha at the end of the Hallel with Arach Hasima, and then you say Nishmas Kochayin Yishtabach with the Hasima of Yishtabach. The Minig Sfarad is that you go backwards and forwards. This standard Shiloh Haggadah that they use in all the elementary schools all over the New York area has Nusach Svard. So if you're Hasidim or you're Svardim, there's no Tehei. But if you're Ashkenazim, it's Nagdim, so you shouldn't use this Haggadah for the Birchas Hashir. They have over here the Nusach Svard, that at the end of the Hallel you don't say Halucha at all. When you finish Hodol Hashem Kitab Kili Olam Chazdei, you start Hodol Hashem Kitab, the 26 Sukkim that end off Kili Olam Chazdei, Nishmas Kol Chai Yishtabach, up until and not including the Chasim, you say Brachos V'Hodos Me'atov Ve'Ado Olam, and then you go back to Yehalelucha, and then you say Halucha with the Chasim of Yehalelucha. So it says in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, every family should decide whether they're Ashkenazim or Sfardim in advance. They should take a democratic vote and follow the majority. and everyone should say the same Nusach. You shouldn't have half of the people saying Nusach Ashkenaz, half of the people saying Nusach Sfarad. The same Seder, that's an issue of Lois is going to do. So you have to look into your family background to determine what your practice is. So getting back again, it's not proper to be mapsik when you have a brocha lakos. You shouldn't say him in Bukhana Mizulman in between Asher Yolanu and the brocha Bar Pri Agafa. We wash for Hamoitzi, we do say a brocha, Anatilus Yadayim. The Gemara says that the matzah has to be shalachem. The Rosh understands the Gemara Kipshuta that you literally require shalachem. So that's a question in Shulchan Aruch. As everybody's washing, should the father of the should the one who paid for the matzahs is not always going to be the father of the household, should the one who paid for the matzahs make an announcement, everyone should have in mind to be kind of the matzahs that they plan to eat in order that there should be shalachem, or is it not necessary to make that announcement because it's self-understood? So the Taz writes, nah, self-understood. Everybody understands when I serve food to the guests who visit in my home, that I'm being makna the food to them. You look at Ebenezer, it's not so self-understood, it's a machlokes. Other poskim hold that it's self-understood, I'm giving them permission to eat my food, but not, I'm not being makna the food to them. They have a case in Shulchan Aruch that I have two guests in my home, a single boy and a single girl. And the single boy is interested in the single girl. So he takes some of the chicken on his plate. You don't have to be in the cottage with a ring. He takes a piece of chicken, a piece of kugel, and he gives it to the single girl. He says, Harem Mukudash is Lee with the chicken. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshim discuss in Ebenezer, is it his chicken to be Mekadosh the girl with, or does the chicken belong to the Balabas? So it's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer. When the Balabas gives the food to the guest, is it self understood that he's makna the food to the guest? No, who says makna? He gives them permission to eat his food. It's still my food. It's not the boy's food. It can't be Mekadosh with my food. So that's a shiloh over here. So some have the practice that they make an announcement that whoever takes matzah tonight should have a mind to be kind of the matzah. It should be shalachem. Then when you break the matzahs, there are two opinions in Tosfos, Machlokes and Rishonim. So you have 2.5 matzahs, so you have 1.5 matzahs. So the common practice is you have 2.5 matzahs because they're two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah of lechem mishnah, you need a suras yantra, then there's another mitzvah of matzah, for that you need the prusa. So you have to have 2.5 matzahs. And the other is the Golei Goyim follows the Rambam's opinion, follows the other opinion in Tosfos. Tosfos themselves have the two opinions. The other opinion is not that it's one and the same mitzvah. You don't need two kezaisim. One kezais is enough. The mitzvah of achilas matzah is hainu ach with the mitzvah of suras yantav. The way to fulfill suras yantav tonight on Pesach night is by having the matzah. The pasuk that teaches you should have a prusa is telling you exactly not to have lechem mishnah shleimus. You should dafke have 1.5. You shouldn't have 2 shleimus. If you have 2.5, you're ruining the whole concept of madar kishalani beprusa. So the different practices, it's interesting, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik both had the same tradition. They followed the practice in Volozhin. They followed the Vilna Gaon, that they had 1.5 matzahs. They didn't have 2.5 matzahs. Most people use 2.5 matzahs. The Shulchan Aruch recommends you should have 2.5 matzahs, and you should eat a kazayis of the Shleima and a kazayis of the Prusa. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, why do they have to be machma so much? Some of the Rishonim say it's sufficient to eat 1 kazayis. Why does he have to... Well, you have to be matal luchumar and everybody to have 2 kezais. So that's different practices, whether you have 1 kezais or 2 kezais. You have a lot of people that you have to give matzah to. So one good idea would be, how can you give so many kezais to so many people? So one good idea would be, give every fourth person on the table his own 3 matzahs, 2.5 matzahs, and tell him to say hamaitzi for himself and his wife, and the one next to him. Or what I do, that's one thing that I do, one eitzah, then another eitzah I do is instead of having 2.5 matzahs, I have 3 shleimus on top and 3 shleimus on the bottom. And then whenever you get a box of shmura matzah, half of them are broken anyway. So I have a ton of prusas in the middle. So when I say hamoitzi, I don't say hamoitzi just on 2.5 matzahs, I have 6.5 matzahs, 8.5 matzahs there, 8 shleimus. And many, many, many cruises in the middle. So there's enough kezesim to cover all the 20 guests. There's enough for everybody. The Shulchan Aruch says one should be careful not to talk in between the brach al achilas matzah and the eating of the koirach, because the reason why we have koirach, the Gemara says, is because Hillel lived 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, and Hillel had a machlekes with the other Tanoim when he ate the Korban Pesach. Is it necessary to eat the matzah and the mar davke together, or is it preferable to eat them davke separately? So the Gemara says, "Hashda the late mehilchas alaki hil alaki chachamim." We haven't bin machriya whom the halacha is like. So we satisfy both opinions. So first you eat matzah separately, then you eat the mora separately, then you eat the matzah and the mora together. So the bracha that we said, al-achilas matzah, we're not sure that we will yotze anything with the matzah. We want that bracha to cover the achila of the kairach also. Maybe the kairach is a more correct way to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. One should not talk in between the bracha al-achilas matzah and the eating of the kairach. That's why the Mishnah Brura has a complaint why they put Nekudas on Zechel Mikdash Kehil Kein Asa Hil. He thinks that you're not supposed to say that. He thinks that that's a hefsek in between the Bracha al-Achilas Matzah and the eating of the Koirach. He thinks that this is what should be printed in little letters, that that's the explanation. That's what the Koirach is all about. Like they have other things, instructions in small letters. This is part of the instructions. That this is it's not part of the text of the Haggadah to be recited. That's part of the instructions to know what you're saying. The commentaries quote that Shalom's practice was he wouldn't talk from the time he said Al-Achilas Matzah till he ate the Afikoimen. Because Rashi and Tesis are of the opinion, the Rashbam, Rashi and Tesis are of the opinion that the Afikoimen is the Ikem Mitzvah Achilas Matzah. So you say the Bracha Al-Achilas Matzah at the beginning of the meal, but you're really not Yotze the Matzah till the end of the meal. Rav Soloveitchik said his grandfather Rav Chaim would be Machmer for that opinion. That's Chumrah. Not to talk at all till Afikoimen. Practically impossible. You have to have the meal, Shulchan Aruch, you have to have the meal. The Mishnah says that after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were two minhagim as far as whether you eat dafke tzli or you dafke do not eat tzli. Should you dafke eat tzli to make a zecher to the Korban Pesach, or dafke not eat tzli, then no one should think that you're eating kotchim bachutz. My impression is that by Ashkenazim, the common practice is that we don't eat tzli. I don't know, by the Sfaradim, I'm not familiar. I was told that some Sfaradim do eat tzli. Ashkenazim, the meaning is we don't eat tzli, and even tzli kador. Many are of the opinion that you don't have tzli kador. Means not broiled on a broiler, but if you take chicken and meat and you put it in a pot and you didn't put in any liquid at all, it just cooks in its own liquid. So that's called tzli kador. So that would not be kosher by the Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach has to be mamish broiled. So many acharonim write that you should be machmer not to have, according to our meaning, that we don't have tzli, so you shouldn't even have the tzli kader either. At the end of the meal, you have to have the afikoimen. Afikoimen is a machlekes and Rishonim, what is it supposed to represent? So we just mentioned Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rashbam are of the opinion. Afikoimen is dikei mitzvos achilas matzah, so you have to have a kezayis of it. And other Rishonim say, the Rosh disagrees, says, no, afikoimen is echel pesach. So the Maharil writes, that you have to have two kezesim of the afikoimen, because they always ate two kezesim of the Korban Pesach, as we all know. Everybody always ate two kezesim of the Korban Pesach. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say, whoever heard that you eat two kezesim of the Korban Pesach? The Mishnah says you eat one kezai. So who says you eat two kezesim? So they think it must be a mistake. The Sefer Maharil was written by one of the Talmidim of the Maharil, and every so often he wrote everything backwards. It must be a mistake. They attributed it must be a mistake. Maharil probably said you should have two kizeis and one zeich al Pesach, one zeich al Chagiga. We're missing two carbonos bisman zeh. That's, I think, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. The Hazan Magen Aram, I think, write like that. Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo, who lived 100 years ago, writes in his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs, Rav Sadigon, he thinks that it's not a misprint. He thinks that you look in the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like Lachatzid, you should have two kizeis and the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah says, Hashamish Mishoch HaKazayis Yotza is B'dieved. If the way to eat a kezais is yet to be yebed, but lachatchil you have two kezais, and the Rambam understands that's what it means, that the Korban Pesach is nechal al hasova. Tosfos understands the way we follow, you eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal when you're no longer starving, al hasova. The Rambam writes, otherwise, the Rambam writes, you should eat Korban Pesach kedei lizboa mimenu. You should eat enough Korban Pesach that it should fill you up. What does it mean? Not just one kezais, lachatchil you should eat two kezais. So a lot of things like that, a lot of strange passages in the Maharil that were thought to be mistakes, and the Chazon Ish every so often would say, no, it's enough in a Rambam, it's enough in a Tshuvas HaGoyim. He's referring to something that the early Rachmanim were not familiar with. Over here also, this is really, that's what it sounds like in the Rambam. For Moror, I left that Moror, for Moror the Mishnah lists off five vegetables that can be used. And the Rishalmi quoted by the Shulchan Aruch says that the vegetables are listed in descending order of importance. So the first one that's listed is chazeres, and the Rishonim say chazeres means lettuce. what kind of lettuce. So they point out that regular lettuce, iceberg lettuce, didn't exist in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Tanoim. So they must be referring to romaine lettuce. Does it necessarily mean that regular lettuce is not acceptable? So that's a question. But for sure, romaine lettuce is what the Mishnah is referring to. Then the Yerushalmi says that that's to be preferred. The list of the five vegetables in descending order of importance, and we prefer dafka, the first one. What's so great about lettuce? Lettuce, romaine lettuce, doesn't have a bit of flavor. So the Yerushalmi asked that question, why is that la mahadrin? Why is that the hita to use that? The Yerushalmi says, no, it has the status of mora, because if you were to leave it in the ground longer, it would turn very bitter. So therefore it's considered mora. And why is that the hidur? Shouldn't it be a hidur to eat a vegetable that's actually bitter? Why should you? So Yerushalmi says no, but because the Golas Mitzrayim started off in a very sweet fashion, and then it became bitter later on. First, Paro Melech Mitzrayim said to all the people, let's all start working together to build all these pyramids. So he got the Jews and the non-Jews, and he himself, everybody was building. And then everybody moved away from the building, and then the Jews were doing the work, and then they had the taskmasters forced the Jews to do the work. So it started off as a sweet support of the government, and it ended off as a bitter suffering. So that's why we should have dafke, this romaine lettuce, that starts off as a sweet flavoring, as a pleasant tasting vegetable, and it turns out later on to be bitter. In the days of the Achrayim, there was a Talmud who learned to hear in the yeshiva years ago. The first year that I gave a shiur, this Talmud was in my shiur. His name is Professor Schaefer. That he was Mr. Schaefer. He's a professor of botany, I think, in Ben Gurion University. So the yeshiva used to have a publication that's called Gesher. Maybe they still have it every 10 years or something. Gesher is a bridge to bridge science and halacha. So he used to have essays on combination of science and halacha. So he wrote a whole essay about identifying the horseradish as the mora. So he documents this, that they only started using horseradish in the days of the Achrayim, when the Jews moved so close to the North Pole that lettuce was not available. The five vegetables were not available, so that's when they started to use horseradish, and there were many tainus against it. Some argued the point that it's not bitter at all, it's just sharp. It's a different sensation. Sharp and bitter are not the same thing. Many Achrayim had a taina, it's a root. The Rishonim say you're only yotzei the alim shalahem or the kelach shalahem, but you're not yotzi with the roots, with the sharoshim. So the whole horseradish is a root. So the achrayim deal with that: is it acceptable or not? So it's really questionable whether horseradish is the correct min. They quote in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he thinks that we have no right to discard this tradition that we have for so many years, that horseradish is acceptable. But for sure, romaine lettuce is for sure acceptable. I used to learn mechavrusa with Rabbi Neuberger's older brother, Dr. Naftali Neuberger. He was single, he used to live in my building, so he told me he was a doctor, he is still a doctor. So he said the two worst days in New York City for Jewish people are the two nights of the Seder, that Jewish people get sick from drinking too much wine, from eating too much matzah, from eating too much horseradish, and it's mamash achil Hashem, we have to go to the hospital. The 2 days of the year that they have more religious Jewish patients than all year long are the two nights of Pesach. That's ridiculous. I don't think it's a mitzvah min hamufcha, even if you hold that horseradish is acceptable. But romaine lettuce is absolutely acceptable. That's the first one on the list. It's chazeres. What do you need the whole horseradish for? There was a guest Margaret Shear here the other day, and I was told I wasn't able to attend the shear. So I was told that this was the theme of his shear, that you should not sprinkle horseradish on top of your romaine lettuce. You just eat the romaine lettuce without any horseradish. There are people who are allergic to wheat. So the question is whether they can have matzah made from oats. We usually assume that one of the chamesh is made of wheat, barley, oats, rice, stout. So Professor Felix, who is a religious Jew, wrote in his book, he has two books about the animals in Tanakh and about the vegetables in Tanakh. So he thinks that oats is a mistranslation, that oats is not from the chamesh is made of oats. Shlem Zalman writes, is quoted again as saying, with all due respect, he says, for so many years it was assumed that oats is from the Hameshes Minidogan, so he thinks we shouldn't, we have no right to discard that practice. One of the students years ago showed Kahati Mishnayis to Rav Soloveitchik, where he quotes this from Rav Unterman. Rav Unterman said that oats is not really one of the Chameshis Minidog. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik got so upset, he took the Mishnayos and he threw it on the table. They quote that the Stakler was also very upset. When they showed him Kaat Mishnayos, he said, it's a puzzle of Mishnayos. He didn't like it because of the oats. Because he writes that the oats, Rav Unten had told him that oats, he was upset why he quoted Rav Unten. I don't know. But when they wrote it over, they said he was upset why he was Ma'ara that oats is from the Chameshis Minidog. The question is that are oats boli dechim utzana? So they say that the British oats, the people who are allergic to wheat, can eat British oats. American oats, they can't eat. Israeli oats, they can't eat. So that's the question. Maybe American oats and Israeli oats are boli dechim utz. And that's why the people who are allergic to wheat are not allowed to eat those oats. And the British oats, which don't cause them any problem, maybe those are not boli dechim utz. That's because the oats are slightly different. It's a different strain of oats. Over the centuries, the oats changed a little bit. So maybe these oats are boli dechimutz and the other oats are not boli dechimutz. It's questionable. So one who has an allergy should consult his local Orthodox rabbi. Okay, we're holding by Chatzos almost, so we got to say a few words about Chatzos. The Mishnah has a din, HaPesach en Anechel Elo Ad Chatzos. You have to finish eating Kor Pesach by Chatzos. So the Gemara Brachas Daf Tesem and Aleph in the end of Pesachim Daf Kuf Kof and Beis and Mark quotes Machlokes of Akiva Rav Lozer and Azai by the Chatzos is a din derais a din derabban. How do we paskin is the question. Tesis has two opinions whether you should paskin like Rabbi Akiva paskin Rav Lozer and Azai. What's the difference halacha l'maaseh? Bottom line, you have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by Chatzos. So the Gemara says in Kuf Kof and Beis and Pesachim the difference is does this din of Chatzos carry over to matzah or not? If the din of Chatzos is a din derais, and you have a hekesh between matzah and korban pesach, so just like the korban pesach, you have to finish by chatzos, so the matzah has to be eaten by chatzos. So that's one opinion in the Rishonim. We should paskan like that tana, that chatzos is the raisa, and you should make sure that you eat the matzah by chatzos. Some say you should make sure you finish the afikomen by chatzos, because the afikomen is the ikar mitzvah's matzah. And then there are more quotes from the Ran and Megillah. You should finish all the abukoses by chatzos. You should finish all the abukoses by chatzos lachatchim. Other opinion in the Gemara is no, that Chatzos is only midirabbanon. Rabbi Kiva Chatzos is only midirabbanon. Kidei lahachik sa'adam min ha'aveir. We're afraid if we'll permit people to eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, they can eat at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and they'll eat it after Alos Hashachar. And after Alos Hashachar is still pitch black outside, they'll think it's still nighttime, and they'll be in violation of Benisah Koris, because the Korban Pesach turns into Noisar. When it comes to Alos HaShachar, you can't tell when it's Alos HaShachar. It doesn't correspond to anything that we can, anything visual that we can see. So that's the reason why there's a Gzeirah Derabbanan of Chatzos by Korban Pesach. So the Gemara implies that the Gzeirah doesn't carry over to Matzah. By Matzah, you won't be Chayiv Koris. If you eat Matzah after Alos HaShachar, so it'll turn out that you're not Yetzer the Mitzvah Matzah. So it'll turn out you said a Bracha Levatola, Al-Achilas Matzah, Bracha Levatola. So we assume Bracha Levatola is only the Rabban. You don't make Gzer because of the Bracha Levatola. It'll turn out that you ate before Shachris. Eating before Shachris could be it's only an Issa the Rabban and not an Issa the Reis. You have no right to make Gzer the Rabban and then you have to finish eating Matzah by Chatzos because you may by mistake continue to eat the Matzah after Alos HaShachar. So that's a Machlokes in Rishon. So the Rama says, the correct practice should be that you should see to it, that you should hurry on, move on the Seder in a reasonable pace. The women spend so much time preparing for the meal and the Seder, so they want everybody to enjoy the meal and to eat slowly in between one course and the other course, they should appreciate. So you have to encourage the women that they should be mekatzer in the meal and the children should be mekatzer in the gematrios and the Rosh Hashanahs. You should try to finish by Chatzos. Rabbi Goldwich used to say the name Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he always tried to make chatzos, but if it would mean that he's going to hurt his wife's feelings, so he would be mevater on the chatzos. So try to speak to your wife, explain to her 3 weeks in advance, every week, explain why she shouldn't feel insulted, that she should be mekatzer, and you should try to make chatzos. Here in the neighborhood, a lot of people brag in the morning of Pesach, we finished Agada at 4 o'clock in the morning. We always bring, we finish by Chatzos. With me up.